Hey, Nadpoles. Caldwell here to talk to you about Hero Forge, the best place to get fully customizable tabletop miniatures with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from. I actually just built a version of my Underdark Gnome Illusion Wizard, Kraslo, for use in a home game my friend has been running, and it was incredibly fun getting to scroll through all the options and details to bring this mage-handed menace to life. Their easy-to-use design tools let you build your perfect miniature online using a fully 3D, in-depth character creator right in your browser. Oh, and before you ask, yes, Hero Forge has goggles, and yes, Kraslo is wearing them. So if you've been thinking about splurging on a miniature for your D&D campaign, wait no longer, because May 2nd to May 9th, Hero Forge is having a spring sale. You can get 10% off all physical miniatures and free shipping, including international shipping on all orders. The figures are tiny, but the savings are huge. To take advantage of this great offer, visit heroforge.com to start designing your custom miniature today and check back often because new content is added every week. Ooh, good to know. Kraslo just got a hat of vermin in the campaign, and I really want to find an annoying top hat for him to wear to represent that. In the meantime, that's it for me. Thanks for listening, and happy forging.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dungeon.
Welcome to Dungeon Court, everybody. We are your Supreme Crit Justices, Murphy, Axford, and Tanner, joined by the lowly Bailiff, Jake.
Whoa.
Just two.
I like that.
That was curt, precise.
That was amazing. That was a little dismissive, actually, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
It's almost like I didn't matter at all.
It's like bookends. So like what's inside of those bookends? You got lowly over here, and then like a whole volume of insults we can add.
Yeah.
It's meant to make him question himself, because if I just did one lowly, he'd be like, oh, he's being kind of lazy today. He's just saying it the one time. But the fact that he said it twice, that feels loaded.
Yeah. Some loaded lowlies. Uh-huh. That's how you know we're off to a good start.
And with that, hear ye, Crit is now in session. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices Axford, Murphy, and Tanner are presiding.
Hear, hear.
Justice Tanner is disbarred. He's been disbarred.
My God.
You gotta go for it,
hear,
you know?
Hear,
where's your sense of decorum? Sir,
control yourself.
I'm enthusiastic. What do you want from me?
Caldwell had a pixie stick before this, and he's off the wall.
He snorted it.
It was laced.
The honor of the court actually has to be restored before we get started.
Oh,
I don't know if you guys remember, but last time we all met, we declared our first ever mistrial.
Was this the T-Rex one?
We were unable to find justice for Tobias and the T-Rex. Tobias the Bard turned their player James into a T-Rex, then a wizard turned them invisible, and the T-Rex burst through a bandit camp and injured two bandits.
Yes. Right, and then the DM said that that gets rid of invisibility.
Mm-hmm. We asked Tobias for more information. Mm-hmm. Tobias writes, I apologize that not being clear enough has led to a mistrial and will now endeavor to provide enough information to resolve this case. First of all, it's not your fault. It's not your problem.
It's not your fault.
You should kneel,
It's not your fault. The DM is a Gemini and the wizard is a Pisces. I guess we asked for that information.
Okay. Well, I don't know anything about Pisces, but I had a lot of friends who are Geminis, and they all tell me how messed up they are.
We did ask for more information. This is our fault.
They're like, we're two-faced. We have two sides.
We arguably asked for too much information.
We are all good friends and remain so to this day, and we've had many sessions since with no issues, so I may have overblown the amount of bickering.
Wow.
It is one of those things that both of them vehemently stick to their guns when it comes up, though, and I wanted a resolution they would accept.
Okay.
To clarify, only the T-Rex lost invisibility. No one else.
Okay, fair.
And the wizard was the one complaining about the T-Rex losing invisibility. James was just enjoying being a dinosaur, and I, the bard, enjoyed the carnage.
I love being a dinosaur.
I have received this message from the whiny wizard after they listened to the ruling. So it sounds like someone is going to represent themselves in court.
Okay, wow, interesting.
The whiny wizard says, and I quote, I think my main case points are rule of cool, invisible T-Rex, cooler than visible one, even for one round, and the attack versus cause damage wording, but very much not bothered because working at a Swords R Us would be pretty sweet. He also wanted to clarify that the barbarian was on the ground below the treehouse when he was polymorphed, not inside the treehouse, but in growing to the size, broke up through the treehouse.
Oh, okay.
And that's everything that Tobias has provided.
Cool. So it does still come down to would collateral damage count as an attack? And I gotta say, I don't think it does.
I don't think it does, but as we said last time, and it's very hard to remember because it was a month ago, but I believe what we said last time is that the DM was narrating a cool thing and did not have to have collateral damage. True. Could have just said also, right, the T-Rex popped up. I will also argue against this player who says that an invisible T-Rex cooler than a visible T-Rex. Disagreed. I see invisible T-Rexes out my window right now.
Yeah.
I don't see any goddamn dinosaurs. I want to see a fucking dinosaur.
Want to see
if
that
something
big boy
bursts through my house and it's an invisible T-Rex, I'm just pissed that my house was destroyed.
Okay. If
a T-Rex shoves its fucking face through my house, there's part of me that's like, holy shit, dinosaurs are real.
Yeah. Murph, think about how much more tense Jurassic Park would be if they edited out all the dinosaurs.
There's some I think visually cooler, and I do wonder if this is why the DM ruled it this way. Is they've got this bandit camp, right? This person turns into a dinosaur. It's invisible at first, but then once the trap has sprung, the dinosaur has shown up in the middle of camp. Way fucking cooler visual than invisible dinosaur.
I'm just going to keep it concise. I'm going to say I've been swayed by your visible dinosaur is cooler than invisible dinosaurs. And I say that we officially sentence the wizard. If they want to work at a Swords R Us, they can. But also we could sentence them to watch a dinosaur-less Jurassic Park.
Yes.
I love it.
The way Spielberg intended. The director's cut. Steven didn't want any dinosaurs.
He said they all have cloaking devices.
It's like Jaws, where they don't show the shark very much, but instead it's Jurassic Park, where the movie was clearly intended to have a lot of dinosaurs in it. So the movie's just 15 minutes long and everyone looking off screen, kind of scared.
Oh no! Oh my gosh, they're all over there! Oh, they're at the buffet!
Yeah, I think you need to actually edit yourself the dinosaur-less cut.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's cool.
That's
great. Yeah.
And you release it and the movie's just called Park.
Yeah.
They should edit the cut though and give it to us and then we'll put it up on our Patreon. Because I feel like that's I want to monetize that.
That's a huge market.
I'm picturing Jake just refreshing the post, being like, no one's watched it. It's been up for 3 days and not a single view.
Something must
be wrong with the app.
Yeah.
Do I have to pay to boost this thing? Yes, I do.
I paid to boost it. Still not a single view.
What the hell is going on here? Okay, that sounds good to me. So ordered.
So dinosaur ordered.
And you know what? This is reminding me.
Oh shit, he's still on.
That actually, this is the lowly bailiff Jake has reminded me of a controversy from last episode, which was the Dr. Evil, which people in the comments brought up that I quoted Dr. Evil Jens Lindell. And I just want to say, first off, you got me, all right? I'll take the lowercase L, not a capitalized L.
Somebody cut his mic.
Because there is a difference. There's a difference between making your character entirely based on a character from Austin Powers and saying one line as your character as a fake, funny thing that your character thinks.
He said
1 million gold.
I'm going to follow up with my own update. That at the time I had not seen Austin Powers, and I've since watched all three. Mm-hmm. And my main complaint
in the correct
is that
order too.
I watched it 3-2-1 to piss off Murph.
She actually did. She actually did.
Yeah, the 3-2-1 blast off method.
Caldwell, as a joke, said to watch it 3-2-1, and Emily legit
When you watch it in descending order, you feel the absence of Mini-Me in episode one.
Oh my god,
so profoundly. Anyways, now having consumed the entire oeuvre. I think that actually what I would have weighed in on is they shouldn't have played Fat Bastard. They should have played Dr. Evil.
Dr. Evil is actually funny. And Fat Bastard is not funny.
so that's
also another reason that it's only a lowercase L for me.
What's, I don't know if it works like that.
It's a lowercase L. No, because it's here's where I messed up. I said that quoting things is not funny, but I do sometimes quote things. So I'll take I'm wrong on that. Sometimes
I don't think
things.
Any of us would have agreed with you that quoting things isn't funny.
Right. But I said that, and
you made a character who quoted something though.
Exactly.
Like, I feel like it was more of a commentary on the time.
Right, but I will also take back that because it is funny to say $1 million in
so
certain
funny.
Circumstances. And also, in certain circumstances, is funny.
Murph put that gin's stink on it and made it its own thing.
The only reason I'm saying it's just a lowercase L and not a capital L is because I do feel like people are taking the fact that I quoted Dr. Evil and making it exactly the same as someone naming their character Fat Bastard and telling everyone to get in their belly.
No.
There's a huge difference. Yeah, there's
some conflating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you just said, I'm Ron Burgundy one time in the campaign, but otherwise we're playing, you know, a dwarf paladin, or you're actually playing Ron Burgundy, there's a difference there, right? Can we agree?
If you want, we can. Do you want to strike from the record the fact that you ever said that quoting things wasn't funny?
No, you
because then they don't have, the haters don't have a leg to stand on.
No, the haters have a little bit of a leg to stand on.
they have a
lowercase L.
They've got a kickstand.
They've got a lowercase W, and I will take the lowercase L, but this is not the big fat L that everyone's making it seem like.
I think my favorite thing about this being an audio show is you can picture Murph saying this at a wedding to complete silence. You can picture Murph going on this rant anywhere, and it just becomes so
just
much
me
greater.
Just saying that my haters are only kind of right.
Just Murph at the DMV going off. Just put him wherever you want.
Listen up, haters. You got
Listen up, haters. You have a point.
What's up, haters? You have a point.
You're not making a full meal out of this. Yeah. It's a medium-sized meal. It's a lunch at best.
It's a snack.
You win this battle, haters, but the war continues. Okay. Our next case comes from Earn with Stepdad.
Okay.
The case of the cereal brand curse to the honorable justices, especially the lovely wife form Emily. Whoa. And I think his name was Jupe. That's close.
I'm such a worm.
Indeed. We are but tillers of the soil.
I merely aerate the soil for my husband.
I offered to DM a game for my friends to teach them D&D. However, I've been butting heads with my only other friend who's played before after she pitched a truly insufferable character and told me she wouldn't compromise on anything about him.
Here we go.
I built a fantasy-style pirate campaign for my friends, and she built a Kenku named Albert A. Albertson, who's an uncharismatic suit-wearing bard from Illinois who only speaks in a monotone voice and has a brand cereal curse that makes him boring and sad. I tried to compromise and tell her she could think she's cursed, but I wouldn't have it actually be true in the world due to the fact that my main BBEG's whole character is built around a curse, as well as another PC who wanted a curse related to that BBEG. I thought it would ruin the buildup if there's some divorced dad who's cursed because he ate cereal. My friend got super upset, and her girlfriend texted me telling me I was a control freak and a buzzkill. Should I let her have her joke character, or am I right for not wanting a joke character in my campaign?
My first thought is someone says, I want to run a pirate campaign, and you don't think of 17 different pirates. You What's going on?
You don't even want to be from a port. You want to be from a landlocked state. I guess there's a lake.
There's just a type of player that for some reason just wants to play a sad guy from the real world. There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess I've played them. I've played them to a certain extent.
Uh-huh. I do think that, like, I mean, this is the common joke about joke characters is you play them for like 3 sessions and then all of a sudden you care deeply about them. And then, you know, you are trying to undo this brand curse because it's got some deeper connection to the real world.
Yeah.
And these curses are being filtered into the post-serial factory via some sort of pirate magic. And you got to undo that. And that's fun. And you got to work it in. But it is true. Like, you're the DM. If you don't want to put up with that, then you don't have to.
Yeah.
And by the way, it also sounds like this DM was like, okay with everything except for the brand serial curse.
Yeah.
Cool with Illinois, cool with the suit.
That's ultimately what I'm kind of confused about, because it's like, they're, yeah, exactly, being cool with Illinois and everything and the suit and everything on a pirate adventure, but then the one thing you bump up against,
yeah,
is the fact that there'd be two curses.
Listen, Sanji
kind of confuses me, I guess.
Sanji wears a suit. He's the cook for Luffy's crew in One Piece. He wears a suit, so there's precedence for
and
wearing a suit on a boat
with kicks.
Yeah.
I don't know what the good advice is here, because I am the kind of DM who's like, what your players want to do is the most important thing. What's interesting to them is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. And yet, I'm also the kind of player who's like, show up with 7 different character pitches, and the DM will tell you which one they like. So I don't relate to...
It's also, I feel like you all could have just worked together to come up with something that fits the world. Because there is a world where, you know, it's like Hank Hogfish was this guy a little bit, was just like a sad guy. In Eldermorn, but we fit it into the world. There are like modern things about him that plays into tropes of like the sad dad or something like that.
Yeah, I don't think there were hot plates in Eldermorn before Hank.
And I don't think Jill ever texted you that you were being a control freak.
That's hard too, right? The text from the significant other saying you're being a control freak. It's like, is that evidence that maybe we're not getting the full story from the submitter, or do significant others sometimes take their partner's side a little too vehemently?
It sounds like significant other didn't get as much information.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, I do think that there are some people that don't give DMs enough respect. No, that sounds too dramatic. But there are, I think, people that underestimate how much goes into world building and everything like that, and how much, you know, I don't know if I'd go as far as, I mean, like, pride that you take in your world that you created and everything, and your writing a story and spending a lot of time living in it in your head while you're planning all these things out. Mm-hmm. And so to have somebody come in and make a total joke of it, it does make it hard to plan sessions.
I think a lot of these cases we get would be solved if DMs, when they were running it, said, pitch me 2 characters.
that's true.
Right.
That's actually a really good advice, honestly. Yeah. And we kind of do that. Like, people do.
I can't stop pitching.
I know.
I literally need the DM to say, okay, actually, this is the one I want you to do.
M has usually a 7 or 8, and then everyone else has 2 or 3.
Yeah.
We usually come together and we're just like, what is the best kind of party balance here? This person's playing this. This person's playing this. This is how they'll come together.
It's just, it's so fun to open up the little guy faucet in your brain and just let those little guys pour out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they can be from Illinois, Nebraska.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's so many.
Either of those.
Different two Midwestern of the Dakotas. States.
Literally. Got two.
Imagine
right there.
A sad guy from Florida.
Yeah. Whoa. Just the Midwest, okay? Yeah.
No, but I'm saying branch out.
Okay. Right. Florida sad is different than Midwest sad.
I know. That's why I suggest. Because then you are truly pitching 2 different characters.
Yeah. That's true. I want to hit one more piece of advice.
Okay.
This is a Murph classic. Copyright Murph right here. Hit him with that yes, but. Uh-huh. Always hit him with that big yes, but.
I've never heard of that. I'm just kidding.
Or no, but.
Yeah. No, but, yes, but. Just know that these are the 2 cheeks of Murph, we call them. The no, but and the yes,
but. Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Murph, that's your next tattoo.
Yeah.
Yes, but.
Yes on one cheek. No, on the other cheek.
That's really good.
That makes sense.
Whoa. Turn the other cheek. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
This to me shows like kind of just
a little dance.
We're still talking about my goddamn ass.
Only till you shake it.
I'm gonna wait. Are we good?
You do a strip tease where like you pull like one cheek down and you see the yes, and then you pull the other cheek down and you get the butt on there, and then you just
shake
it around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my goodness.
Okay.
Yeah.
You good?
Uh-huh.
All right. I feel like this is a profound like misunderstanding of what goes into being a DM. Because I think that the significant other's response is, I think, like, obviously pretty confrontational. But if you were playing, like, a board game or something, then it could be warranted to be like, why do you care so much? Just let them play what they want to play. Who cares? But it's like, as a DM, you're spending hours and hours and hours, and this person isn't giving any thought at all into your world, which is kind of disrespectful. So I think this is just a case of, like, I think this probably isn't going to work out. You know what I mean? I think there's a profound disconnect between DM and player here.
You know what? That's a good point too, because this session, the reason for it is to teach other people how to play D&D and to basically show people how to play D&D. So you really don't want to go into it with the energy of somebody so aggressively trying to play a joke character that their girlfriend is texting you, calling you a control freak. That's not a good learning environment for anyone taking on D&D.
And kind of like once all of that stuff gets on the table and it all becomes like very aggro, it's kind of hard to say, oh, well, you know, maybe you work on it together. Maybe you come up with a character together.
You just text back and you're like, you know what? Actually, no, the Kenku can totally be cursed by brand cereal. They're just not going to be in my campaign.
Yeah. Actually, I don't want to DM anymore, actually.
Yeah, that is kind of intense energy to come into the campaign with, and it might be good to avoid that.
Yeah. I think if it was kind of just they were just razzing you and everybody's just joking around and you are going to go ahead and play together, I would suggest coming up with sort of a Henry Hogfish type character where it works within your world. If they want to do a curse, I know maybe you don't want to double up on curses, but I think this is something
I think that you can double up on curses.
I agree. That's, yeah.
For sure. Just feels like this. Yeah. I mean, like, curses could be a theme of the campaign. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gorgeous. We love it. But I do think that maybe it's not the double curse that's bothering you.
Yeah. I would say focus up more on the, apparently, I mean, wearing a suit is fine on a pirate ship, we've decided.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Sanji precedent.
It's more the fact that they're just not respecting your world by being like, I'm from the regular world.
Yeah.
And everything's regular and I'm a joke character. It's just try to find a way to kind of get in between where they're respecting your world.
Okay. So it sounds like we are going to sentence the Kenku.
Yeah. We're going to sentence this bird.
I mean, I guess we could just curse their brand.
Right.
Curse their cereal IRL.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's there for the cursing.
Yeah, yeah. It really is.
Yeah. We can make their raisin bran taste like... Is there another cereal that's worse than raisin bran?
Cranberries.
Cranberries. There you go. Just a little bit different.
Oh, man. Just cran bran?
Branberries.
They definitely just have... This is definitely a real cereal.
Right.
Yeah. Cranberries inside.
But if you go in expecting those like sweet two scoops of raisins and all of a sudden you've got like cranberries in there, it's a little too tart. Oh, your breakfast is ruined.
Whoa. Yeah.
Too tart.
It will unravel you if every time you have a raisin it tastes like a cranberry.
Yeah. Sweet. Well, so ordered.
May all your raisin bran taste like raisin cran.
Whoa.
Now that's a curse.
Oh, man.
Okay. That's how you fucking curse somebody.
Gotcha.
Okay.
We should go get some raisin crayons after this.
Stolen
love that restaurant.
From the mouth of a witch.
Crayons are a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're cranberry raisins.
Yeah, so
it's not that off. It's not off, but.
But the mascot will be a witch who's like, give me back my cranberries.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. There really should be a cursed cereal mascot.
Yeah.
Well, they kind of all are cursed in a way. Like the Trix Rabbit can never.
Isn't the Trix Rabbit? Yeah.
Yeah, they all have like a they've got like a Sisyphean thing going on.
Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Mm-hmm. He's addicted to those things.
Right. It's all dark.
Was it just the sugar aspect that made everyone want to go nuts with their mascots?
It kind of became like a arms race to see like who could create like the most crazy mascot that's going to reach out to the kids and be like, this is what happens to you.
I have a stupid question because I don't really eat cereal except for Fruity Pebbles on Christmas.
So you do love the Flintstones.
Right. Yeah, it's got
it. Why? Are they Flintstones related?
Of course.
What? What? No.
They're on the box.
I don't eat that once a year.
Impossible.
Year.
How did you not go on it?
I don't make one in my cereal box.
Surely watched television once in the past 40 years.
I have.
What, do you like pour the box and instantly put it away? Are you not looking at the box while you're pouring?
Fred and Barney are all over that
They're all over it.
I have a very...
They're pebbles. Flintstones.
My attention is precious to me, and I gift it only to the things that deserve it.
He named the cereal after his daughter. Don't you understand?
Well, so I didn't know that context, so that went unnoticed by
insane.
Me. Anyways, do they still... So since I only really eat that, like, what's here, is cereal still going nuts with mascots?
It's still... I mean, most of them are still around, I think.
Best of my knowledge,
but there's not any new ones popping up on the scene?
Yeah, I don't think they've, like, changed any mascots. I guess they felt outsized to me at the time because I was, like, you know, 9 and eating all these cereals. But
yeah.
If people are still eating them, maybe they care about the mascots.
People did catch on to the fact that children should not have sugar all the time.
Yeah.
They slowly figure that out a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, remember when we grew up and you could just have like full sugar juice? Like that was just all kids drank. They don't do that anymore, turns out. Yeah. We figured out that's bad.
And also like the mascots were kind of creating an unhealthy relationship with the cereal to begin with, because it was stealing the, you know, everyone wanted to steal it from you. Mm-hmm. You were ravenous for it.
Yeah, wait, was the Trix Rabbit the only one that was never allowed to eat their own cereal? Because Lucky the Leprechaun was, kids were always kind of like chasing him down.
Trying to get his Lucky
Charms. But he was doing like a ritual with it, I think. I think he needed Lucky Charms for like his magic. I don't know if he wanted to eat it. But the children were ravenous regardless.
There was the, what was the cookie one? There was like a burger.
Cookie Monster. They're always stealing it.
It wasn't Cookie Monster. It was the Cookie Crisp.
I loved Cookie Crisp.
I know. I liked Cookie Crisp. Yeah. That was
Cookie
really
Crisp was a little bit too much.
I was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
If not good, not good enough of a cookie and not unhealthy enough of a cereal, in my opinion.
Were Cocoa Puffs related to the Flintstones?
Cocoa Puffs is their cuckoo
it
for
wasn't,
Cocoa Puffs.
But it looked like a prehistoric bird now.
There were, I believe, chocolate pebbles that were like Cocoa Crisp.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
They're very similar.
I think
similar.
I knew that those were Flintstones.
Yes.
So let's
those
move on.
Those were really good.
I'm taking the small L for not noticing that a cereal I like had a cover and a mascot.
You own the Flintstones box and didn't realize it.
But like, back off, haters. This is just a snack, okay?
Yeah, it's just a snack.
Just a snack, haters.
Okay, so we've ordered. So we've already condemned.
What the fuck are we talking?
Okay,
so
all right.
Distracted.
Oh yeah, the cereal is cursed. This case is closed.
It's cut and dry. Yeah. Like the
case
cereal
closed.
On your mouth.
Cereal cursed.
All right, serial cursed. Our next case comes from Reuben S. Reuben writes, "May it please the honorable justices and haunt the lowly bailiff when he is cold and alone at night."
Oh, wow. So that was between the two lowlies, a ghost.
Whoa. I bring to you the case of the main character. About a year ago, I joined an online campaign that had already been in progress for 6 months. I played a tiefling sorcerer, and the party consisted of a tiefling warlock, a human wizard, and a dragonborn paladin, plus our DM. To join the party, I had to have a one-on-one fight against the paladin. I rolled high on initiative, so I went first, and you can imagine my surprise when he took no damage from my spell because his armor made him immune to all spells.
What?
All spells?
This is how five-year-olds play.
He was simply immune to every single spell.
Yep.
Naturally, I lost the fight, but the paladin told me I had fought bravely, and I still was accepted into the party. This was just the beginning, however. As with each session we played, it became more and more clear that the paladin was this story's main character and the rest of us were merely his sidekicks.
Oof.
Important NPCs would refuse to speak to anyone but the paladin.
Oof.
Whenever we received new items, they were all immediately given to the paladin and he got to choose who to give them to. When making plans, the person who always got to make the final decision was the paladin. He also had a full selection of magic equipment with his armor that made him immune to magic, a ring that gave him a flying speed of 30 feet, and a +2 greatsword that did double damage on evil creatures,
Stop, Jake, just to name a few,
while the rest of the party had basically their standard starting equipment.
Yeah.
I became increasingly frustrated, but what confused me the most was that all the other PCs seemed perfectly content to be minor characters in the story. Eventually, I had enough, and I quit the campaign, but was I crazy to think that the collaborative game of D&D should have been played collaboratively?
I think, honestly, we don't even need to talk about this one too much. This is such a weird, unsolvable situation.
Yeah.
If they're all happy in this campaign, God bless them, but also I would have left that campaign.
This reminds me of being a kid and playing Star Wars and stuff and being like, I'm stronger than Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker and Obi-Wan, but also I'm as powerful with the Force as Yoda. It's like that kind of energy.
Do we think that there's any chance that like in this paladin's personal life something was going on?
Yes,
and so their friends rallied around them
to gas him up
and
powerless.
These weekly D&D campaigns were, let's gas up our friend while they're going through this tough time. Because that's the only thing
hey
I
guys,
can wrap my head around.
Kyle really needs this flying game, okay?
Listen, gaslighting doesn't need to be a bad thing. You can gas up and gaslight.
Gas up and gaslighting.
Right.
This is the wholesome, I guess it's kind of wholesome.
It's a wholesome
but yeah, I think you did the right thing by leaving this because it's not a situation that's ever going to change.
Uh-huh.
It is insane.
I'm wondering if it's a situation where it's two people that are friends then met a bunch of people online and so it's like they're really just playing with each other. I don't even know how you balance armor that doesn't let you get hit by spells.
Yeah, that just right. seems no fun for anyone.
No.
That's bonkers. Mm-hmm. It really, I feel it's like you just walked into like the weird room at a party and you kind of had to be like, all right, I'm going to just back out. Yeah. What's going on here is fine for you guys.
That's absolutely true. You yeah. walked into the weird room at a party and now it's time. You left and you did the right thing. And
yeah, everything just, worked out.
There's no way to make that room any less weird.
Right. I think you did the right thing by just gracefully exiting.
Yeah.
Because like, mm-hmm. it's an ecosystem that seems to be thriving.
Yes. They are all they happy it. With it. So, you know.
But we do have to punish ways. Them, unfortunately.
Right. Do yeah. we punish the lot?
Well, how are we going to punish this paladin? They're immune to everything and they can fly away.
They're immune to it. That's true. They're
oh,
so
maybe pour
powerful.
Acid on all their armor and equipment.
Yeah.
Oh, but they're immune to acid damage, actually, too.
Oh, mm-hmm. fuck.
It's actually super immune to acid damage. Like, super immune to actually get healed by it.
Wow.
So I can use key points and spell slots, actually, yeah. which is crazy.
It's actually, it makes me a monk, but also I'm still a paladin.
Okay.
And also, I still can do the add wisdom to my AC, mm-hmm. even though I have armor. On because I'm a special kind of monk that can do
cool.
that.
Cool. How are things going at work, by the way?
Yeah, I was gonna say, this person just...
You know, right now, things are kind of stagnant.
They had to make up a new type of furloughing for me.
I think we have to make their armor look dumb.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The problem is
okay.
Maybe, we just yeah. write, I need this on their armor.
Yeah. Make yeah, all of the characters and all of the villains start treating you with like real kid gloves and like, oh, sorry, yeah, here you Whoa, oh you know, really that
you're
really hurt.
So strong and powerful.
You know, we can actually hit two Kankus with one stone here. Okay. I think we just swap
Amazing.
The characters. This okay. paladin wow. becomes the Kanku from Illinois.
Okay, cool.
Oh. And then
we
solve
curse
this
their
problem.
Cereal.
We curse their cereal.
And right, they watch Dinosaurless Dragon not Dragon Ball Z. Dinosaurless
Dragon. There are dinosaurs in Dragon there Ball Z are. Sometimes.
If you took the dragons out of Dragon Ball Z, that'd be a problem.
Yeah. Sure. Goodbye, Krillin, right?
Shit.
That's what
Everyone's
I was going to say.
Just dead. Why would Krillin be gone, Jake?
Yeah, why? How come, dude?
We should get to another case.
I don't know yes!
Right.
I want to say
He's
for
right.
the record, I know this and Jake doesn't. So I'm not an idiot.
No one thinks you're an idiot.
I'm just a deeply present person who forgets anything I don't actively
It's honestly, eat. You know what? It's Goku behavior, eating Fruity Pebbles and not knowing who Fred Flintstone
That's
is.
True.
That's Goku
definitely
behavior.
True.
Who's that? I just like them because they look like little rocks.
All right, so this is some more cursed cereal, it sounds like.
They're swapping characters. The character from Illinois is allowed in this.
All right, so order.
Perfect, yeah. We give the paladin some cursed cereal because they're taking all the items anyway.
Yeah.
And they just like, they eat it and they're transported.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. a good idea. Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Sorry, can we just go back to laughing at like all of them just passing the items to the paladin for them to distribute? Just feels so...
And loving it.
Yeah.
Like, please, Mr. Paladin,
tell us what we're allowed to do, sir.
Items for you, king.
Which item can I have? Are you sure you don't want them all?
I know you can only have some equipped and attuned at the same time, but you might want backup.
No, you know keep what? It. I don't mind my -1 sword.
Yeah. I have a dead piece of a reed here. I'll just play with that.
I know that you have a +2 greatsword, but you might want this +1 longsword just in case you ever want to dual wield, sir.
I'm fine with my barrel as armor, sir.
Yeah.
My boots are socks.
I don't need a shield. You're my shield. Because you're invincible.
There
to magic, at
already
least.
In a cursed campaign.
Okay, so ordered. And our next case comes from Taller Baller.
Okay.
And they write... To the effulgent justices and the meretricious.
Yeah.
Why are you, they're just trying to trick you.
They're trying to throw in big words to make me sound stupid. Well, guess what? You did, asshole.
That's another little L for us.
One tiny L. A couple tiny L's, all right?
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty easy to use L. An online thesaurus.
Yeah.
Though,
all of us
okay?
are
doing
a tiny L, but
it.
Caldwell.
That's right.
You gotta be strong for us, Caldwell.
I'll take all of your L's and distribute them.
Or strong and cool bailiff, if that's what we're feeling today. Of the Supreme Crit, I bring you the case of the Panther High Jump. Our gnome ranger, Nomeo, and his faithful panther Aww. Companion, Luna.
Aww. Oh, I thought it was going to be Julia.
Had fallen, or were maybe pushed by another member of the party, into a 10-foot empty well. Oba Lassie style. Okay. Nomeo climbed on Luna's back and attempted to use the panther's jump to get out of the well. Mm. Our DM, not liking fun, ruled that that was not possible, spawning an hour-long argument about panther jump heights. Our dear friend Nomeo Googled actual panther jump heights.
No, that's a mistake.
And insanely, they can jump 15 feet in real life. Our DM stuck to their guns, and we ended up having to rope and pulley system Nomeo and Luna out of the well. Justices, was our DM right, or were Nomeo and Luna robbed of an Olympic level high jump performance?
Let's look at what the panther is in Dungeons and Dragons, the game that we're playing, not Wikipedia.
That's very, very fair and accurate.
Pounce. Well done. You know what? Your lovers love you.
Okay. Pounce. If the panther moves at least 20 feet straight toward a creature and then hits it with a claw attack on the same turn, target must succeed on a DC 12 strength saving throw or be knocked prone. If the target is prone, the panther can make one bite attack. No special jump things. Oh, it does have a climb of 40 feet.
Could have climbed out.
It's got a fucking climb speed.
Could have climbed out.
Yeah.
Although, I don't think that you guys were in the right, though, because you didn't. You should have just looked at your panther.
Yeah, just.
Yeah, why did you argue for an hour and then look, and then you went to Google and didn't look up panther 5e?
Look up your panther.
Why did you look up panther 5e?
Here's
instead
the problem.
You just Googled panther general.
I think I'm so against this defense that I'm having a hard time, because you're kind of right. You're kind of right. They have a climb speed of 40 feet.
Your instinct was right, right? You were like, well, it makes no sense that a panther wouldn't be able to get out. But instead of going to the stats, you went to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
The game supported your instinct, but you didn't ask for it.
What do we do here? There is precedent. There is precedent for us being against, you know, people looking up like squid stats on Wikipedia and stuff. But at the same time,
they said that this was an hour in.
How do you fight for an hour and not just look at the stat block?
It must have come up at some point,
maybe
right?
Maybe the fight was kind of fun.
Yeah, true.
The fight could have been
a little
fun.
It could be a debate.
Also, sometimes
debates can be
sometimes
fun.
Loudly arguing about Dungeons and Dragons for 5 minutes can feel like an hour.
True. It could have been a heated spat, not a fight.
Yeah. Who do we even rule against? Because I think that maybe this entire table just needs to be sentenced to reading the panther stats.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Right? Let's be constructive about this.
Okay. So for last time we had our first ever mistrial, this is going to be our first time ever group punishment.
Everyone's guilty. Has any court ever done that?
What if it would be, we could make it kind of fun for them. Okay. Like you all have to read, it's almost like a poetry slam, but all of the poems are just the character sheet for a panther.
I think, 5e. Yeah, just cover to cover, everyone reads the monster manual.
Are you saying we give them
detention?
We give them detention. Everybody gets detention. I'm getting tired of
detention
this looking up animal
or
facts
a poetry
stuff.
Slam with the panther stats. You can choose your
wow.
Cover
Emily,
to cover, you're
teacher.
All in detention. You're all in panther detention.
Panther poetry slam.
Yeah, we figured it out in a minute.
You could also watch 2011's Gnomeo and Juliet starring James McAvoy, the animated film, which I imagine is where they got the name Gnomeo.
Because where else could you think of such a unique name?
It would have to come from this film.
Yeah. You can either read the script from Gnomeo and Juliet cover to cover, or you can read the monster manual cover to cover.
Or you can have a panther poetry slam. I feel like you keep ignoring this option that's been placed on the table.
What if you edit the dinosaurs from Jurassic Park into Gnomeo and Juliet?
Because they have to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Because it's like, who stole Juliet? We don't know. Yeah. That's what happens in the sequel, of course, Gnomeo and Juliet 2, Sherlock Gnomes. So maybe you put the dinosaurs in there, and that's like the mystery.
You know too much about these gnome movies.
I feel like I just saw a trailer for it and it stuck in my head.
Just there forever.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, an iron beam mentally lodged into my brain forever.
Just the opposite of Emily's brain. Just retain every cartoon character you see forever.
It's like, if you've ever seen like an old timey exposure for a film where it's like burned onto the silver acetate, that is my brain. I see Fred Flintstone talking to Santa Claus. I'm like, yep, I won't remember birthdays now.
This is with me forever. It's literally right there. Climb speed 40 feet. They absolutely can hop up, but not for the reason that you think.
Poetry slam it is. So ordered.
Yeah, Panther, so ordered. What a dancer. Climb of 40 feet. Isn't that neat? Out of the well, so swell.
Wow.
There you go. Don't use that one.
That is pretty good. But slam poetry doesn't usually rhyme like that.
Oh, sorry. Let's I was beating mine off of the Mike Myers slam poetry yeah. from So I Married an Axe yeah. Murderer.
I heard that in there.
Hey, everybody. It's Emily here to talk to you about Mint Mobile. It's spring cleaning. We're getting rid of the things that don't serve us anymore. And you know what doesn't serve anyone? Expensive phone bills. If you'd like to declutter your finances, it's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/pawpaw. That's mintmobile.com/pawpaw. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/PAWPAW. $45 upfront payment minimum required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Goodbye, sweeties.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have Auras from me, and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame, named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up. They are the perfect gift, and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody.
All right, our next case comes from Drew. To the most gracious judges and my wife's boyfriend, Jake. Whoa.
Whoa. Jake. That's not true.
Here, here. Here, here.
I swear.
Jake.
I'm
cucking
me.
No one.
You disgust
no,
me. This How is, dare you? I'm calling Jill.
Go ahead. She'll answer for you.
I present the case of Ring of the Grammarian. Ooh. My best friends and I were playing for 6 months. I joined halfway through the campaign as a Chronergy wizard and was gifted the Ring of the Grammarian.
This sounds so fun, but I'm worried where it's going.
Yeah. Which allows the user to change one letter, add or remove or substitute of a spell's name and thereby change the spell. Hmm. I used it to change the mend spell to lend with the spoken intent of summoning a magical banker who would lend me an amount of gold for some items I wanted in his shop.
Oh.
I explained how I would go through the loan application process and agree to a decent APR.
Okay.
The DM said what would actually happen is someone comes out of a portal to give a helping hand. A non-heated argument ensued, and I eventually relented. However, I am still hurt that the spell didn't change as I had intended it, and I am now playing a chronically broke wizard. Was I in the wrong for arguing that my PC changing the spell should be how I intended it to change? I await your decision with arms wide open.
Your DM gave you the most broken item ever, and you're complaining about it?
Yeah, I think you kind of have to surrender to your DM's... Like, yeah. Because this, I totally understand. Like, I think that you came up with a really fun way for yeah. it to work, but I understand that, like, it's just going to be too game breaking if yeah. you also mm-hmm. say how the spell
you wouldn't
plays
want,
out.
I also think that's a pretty cool spell to have a cantrip called Lend where someone can come out and give you a helping hand. Like, that's
yeah.
pretty fucking helpful.
Yeah.
Even powerful spells like 9th level spells like Wish are mm-hmm. at the DM's discretion. It's
yeah.
literally the
right.
DM decides.
Yeah.
And when you could change Wish to Dish.
And yeah.
like a serving tray.
It's very
yeah.
instead of
it's
a Wish.
I wonder if this is an actual thing or if your DM made it up for you.
It sounds
such
like the DM made
thing.
It up.
It's so
that
cool.
Would be,
it's
yeah.
really, really cool.
It definitely requires DM and player collaboration.
Turn fireball into wireball.
It's just like a big ball of wire.
Just a big ball
it's
of
like
wires.
Imagine like if
or
like
electricity.
Oh, you could do electricity. Yeah. I was thinking that it would be like, have you ever encountered a bed, a mattress coil that really hurts?
Sure.
Yeah.
So it's either that
a giant ball of fire, it's a mattress coil.
Yeah.
Wireball being electricity is better though. Yeah, definitely electricity.
I do think this is a case that everything's kind of up for interpretation. So you can try to pitch to your DM what the spell might do if it's spelled differently. But ultimately, it's the DM's decision.
Yeah.
So the DM does not want you to be able to, as a cantrip, be able to borrow free money, even have to pay it back or whatever.
Right.
It doesn't want to have to commit to that. And yeah, that makes mm-hmm. sense. You can't yeah. just decide what you want the spell to be. It sounds like your DM was working with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that your DM is collaborating with you, and I think you do have to collaborate with them, because also they're creating this world. They might have an idea of what kind of magic makes sense and what doesn't.
Yeah.
So.
Also, this yeah. item isn't broken if the DM is the one who decides
right.
how
it's,
the spells
but it's
work.
Gonna end up being broken because they're gonna on the fly make a ruling.
Yes, yes, yes.
So
yes.
it's gonna end up being
then,
broken.
At least then it's the DM's fault. Yeah. And the DM can also see where they went wrong and make adjustments to it. If the player just gets to decide everything that happens from this broken item, the game's already over. You change wireball to hireball, and I've decided that I can throw a prom at any point and get 50 mercenaries to come to my dance and then join my party.
Yeah.
It's wow. just like, why did I get to decide that? That's yeah. not cool.
Yeah.
You can just throw a prom at will. That's the most
yeah,
powerful
that's
spell.
Really good.
I know that it will feel like, I mean, it sounds like you're like really creative, so maybe you feel bummed about it, but you just got to think about it like a collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
You yeah. know, you can definitely pitch your idea, but it is going to have to be, in order for the item to feel fun for both you and the DM, I
right,
think
yeah.
it's going to have to be
yeah.
that.
It also just sounds like it's a kind of like thing that's like almost a little bit unstable magic, so you can like change
yeah.
a letter and change a spell, but you know you
it's
can't
so
be guaranteed
fun.
If it's going to work exactly like you thought, which is kind of fun.
Oh, I love that. Maybe the letter changes without you knowing, like you try to cast Liamon's tiny butt but it turns into Liamon's tiny nut, and then you just jizz a little bit.
Oh mm-hmm. Well, actually it couldn't be butt because it's not a hut.
Oh,
isn't
yeah.
with two T's, but mm-hmm. you could do Liamon's tiny
Liam is tiny now.
Right.
I can't stop thinking of what is shit, what
I know.
Alternates could be.
It's a really fun item.
Yeah,
it's
totally. Fun
so fun.
And that's why it's so much more fun as a collaboration than
totally.
To just be that you can literally make up anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't know,
right.
that's not very fun.
Should we yes. punish them to get along?
No, we need to make their item worse.
You're right. Terribly sorry, yeah. sir.
I don't know how I want to punish this person, though. I'm just excited for their campaign.
Yeah.
Well, no, not the DM. It's the player.
Let's take their thing.
Yeah.
Like, they don't appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you don't like it. We'll take it. Yeah, maybe we'll put it in our campaign.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll be captain.
Like
I'm taking it for campaign four. I'm taking it for campaign four. You don't like it? It's mine now.
It's mine now.
Yeah. My paladin cast Liamon's tiny nut.
It gives you the benefit of a short rest.
Wow. We win a podcast award for it.
Oh my God.
This nut shall be your last. No! Get behind me, sidekicks!
Lightning Jolt would be cool. Okay.
Lightning Jolt?
Lightning
Ooh,
Jolt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Like it's like a healing spell, brings
yeah.
people back up.
Yeah. yeah.
What about Mage Band? So it's just like
a
band, a bunch of wizards
oh,
and
yeah.
guitars.
Or like a cool brace hand.
Or Rage Hand. It's just a slap,
yeah.
like from the slap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, just giving the finger.
Hell yeah.
It's too fun.
It's really
too good.
Fun.
Yeah.
I think I sentence you to have so much fun with this.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
it
yeah,
sounds
yeah.
really fun. Okay, that's
okay,
my
that's
order.
Fair.
The poor DM.
Or you
so
could do a panther poetry slam if you want.
No, you have to read the DM's guide front to back. You're in detention as well. There's two players in detention.
Yes, and Murph is the proctor.
Yeah.
Okay, so our next case comes from Tim. Tim writes, "Dear exemplary judges and absolutely the lowliest bailiff, I bring
hey, he's just the lowly bailiff.
Just
today.
Two.
Come on. Yeah.
Two lowlies, that's it. I bring a case about short rests. In a recent Strixhaven campaign, my party and I were tasked with breaking into a building and stealing a haunted doll from the attic.
Cool.
Classic magic college stuff.
Hell yeah.
After we got inside, we were quickly attacked by a robot butler who kind of kicked our asses. We're level 2. Everyone survived, but barely. With no spell slots left, I asked our DM if we could short rest. Absolutely not, she said. The manor will open before you finish the rest. We were told the manor was closed from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. We broke in around midnight and almost immediately fought this butler, so it couldn't have been later than like 12:15 a.m. And short rest lasts a minimum of an hour. So at the latest, I figured it would be 1:15 when we finished the short rest. I was confused and asked why we couldn't short rest, and our DM said it was the DM's discretion as to how long a short rest was. We moved on with the session and later found some potions, but I asked judges, should our party have gotten to short rest, or should I respect my DM's decision, which I normally do 99% of the time?
I feel like this is a pretty soft moment that I feel like I would just defer to the DM in this, right? You had to do some potions instead of getting a short rest.
It is tough, though, because when you give players info like this, when you say this building is closed from midnight until 6 a.m., they might make plans based on what you told them. So I do think it's fair.
I think I was still thinking of spells for the Ring of the Kermit. Right.
I wasn't listening.
Right. Sorry.
The hole that Fred Flintstone left in your brain is filled with all the fun letters that could be put in front of you.
Give me that item, please.
It is fucking rad.
It's really good. Yeah, wild shape becomes mild shape and you turn into mayonnaise.
Okay, so many good ones. That's not a spell, so I think that wouldn't work for it.
Shit.
Yeah.
Just a cool idea for me.
Just a sick idea to turn into mayonnaise. Just a fucking epic idea. Caldwell, take the lowercase L. Join the club.
The haters are snacking.
We all have little L's.
We all have little
The haters are snacking for sure.
Done.
It's not a full meal. It's not a full meal.
It's a lifeline for the haters.
The haters are just snacking.
I'm opening up
fine.
A snack cabinet for my haters. Yeah, there's granola balls in there.
The haters are allowed to have a snack every once in a while.
My haters, you want some seaweed paper? Yeah. I got it.
Some trail mix for our haters.
The haters want some trail mix. They can have it.
Fine, haters. You get a string cheese today.
Congrats. Congrats, haters. You get some trail mix with no M&M's in it.
String cheese for my haters.
Out of context, so insane. Also, I love just
my haters just are feasting on lowercase L's.
Admitting an L to your haters, but not giving them the full win. What's up, haters? You're a little bit correct, but only a little bit.
Yeah, so eat up. This will only tide you over for now.
Until I slip up again, which we all know will happen. Haters.
You better still be planning a meal later.
I hope you got someone else to hate on, because I'm not going to give you that much ground here.
I'll be with my lovers.
But I'm going to give you some. What were we talking about?
We had it.
This is the short rest.
Oh, yes.
This is the short rest that I missed the beginning of because I'm so distracted.
In most cases, unlike some other cases that we've had today where some of the explanations have actually made me turn on the player. In this case, normally if you were to just say, DM said we didn't have enough time to short rest, normally I would side with the DM. Just because they're trying to keep the stakes up, and they might say, if in your world you decide that you need to be out of combat for a long time, you need a decent amount of time to rest, and short rests take longer for them, that's fine. That's at their discretion. But the fact that the DM had told them what time this building was open, what time it was closed, the players made a plan based on that, and then the DM, as an excuse for why they couldn't short rest, said the building was about to open, going against what they said before, I think that's kind of unfair. So I do think that given all the information, I have to side with the PCs here. I think they should have had time to short rest.
It sounds like the DM got flat-footed a little bit, but it is true. Like they should have just given them the potions up top if that's what they wanted to happen.
Yeah, it is. It does seem like they wanted to keep the stakes up, but I do think you just need to take a moment, breathe, and figure out how you can still keep things tense. Like you can be like, oh, there might be somebody coming by even though the building's closed. So you need to do perception checks while you take your rest. Like you can keep the stakes up without. Are you coming up with a new Emily's face was right up against the mic, smirking I guess came up with a new spell.
You gotta say it now.
How are you supposed to look at you and not respond?
Say
what is your new spell?
I turned chaos into peas.
That's peas. So good. Every time you disobey, peas come out of your mouth.
Peas come out of your mouth when you say the
I wasn't planning on sharing. Okay. Murph called me out.
This is a show. You have to share. By definition, it's a show you have to show.
See,
you have to show your thoughts. You have to participate. You can't just quietly think of three cases ago and come up with fun things in your own head. Then smile at them while not commenting while the rest of us speak.
Yeah. Emily, we're always thinking about Fred Flintstone and his
always.
Delicious cereal, but we're not interjecting constantly with that. Yeah. Only every fourth or fifth case. So what the PCs could have done is they could have used the catnap spell, but used the ring to change it to rat nap, and then a bunch of rats cover
Ooh.
Them up and make rats
catnap
sleeping
bags. Catnap is a spell?
Yeah.
It's a rat
It gives
spell.
You a short rest. I mm-hmm. really wanted to play it as a, like warlock sorcerer.
Yeah.
Be fun.
Zerk had it, but I just never had a chance to use it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know what? We have a punishment here. I think mm-hmm. this DM needs to cast peas on themselves.
Yeah.
And they throw up peas every time they try to deny their players right. a short rest.
And that's a peas offering for
that's
us. Because we could have gone a lot harder.
We could have made you reread the monster manual.
Yeah,
take
as slam
haters.
Poetry.
Take that, haters. Small W for you.
Here, you can have a bowl
Enjoy.
Of joy.
Yeah, here you go.
Enjoy your tiny win.
Yeah. Congrats. You're kind of right. I suck a little bit, but not all the way.
Credit where credit's due.
credits due, haters. But no more credit than is due, okay? A-minus, haters. Congrats. You ain't getting into Harvard with that hating.
My lovers hate how much I'm focusing on my haters.
Okay, so ordered. And with that, why don't we step into church and hear a confession?
Okay. That sounds good. Indeed. That sounds good.
This one comes from Samantha D. It's pretty severe, actually.
Oh,
okay. Okay.
To the most sexy conduits of Dice Christ.
Wow.
Thank you.
I have a TPK confession that has haunted my soul for far too long. A few years ago, I was DMing the Dragon of Icefire Peak module, and my players and I were a couple of sessions in. They were a measly level 2. As we were finishing up a pre-written quest, the module suggested that the players would run into 3 to 4 orcs as they left the cave. However, my brain goofed, and I read 3 to 4 ogres. Instead of a well-balanced round of combat, I TPK'd my players. Midway through combat, one of the players DM'd me and said, "Hey, I don't think it's supposed to be ogres, ... At which point I realized my mistake. We proceeded to play out the combat, everyone died, and we never played that campaign again. Because of that, I have been hyper paranoid about killing my players. I've DM'd quite a bit since then, but this event still weighs on my soul as one of my stupidest DM mistakes ever. For a final bit of context, I have a PhD in English, so reading comprehension is usually one of my strong suits. Will Dice Christ forgive me?
Absolutely.
May I continue to DM with this ogre-sized sin hanging over me?
Damn.
Look. I think it wasn't a sin. It was just a learning mistake.
It was just a lowercase L.
Every once in a while,
the haters deliver on a lowercase L.
Here's the thing. It's when you feast on your own lowercase L's, you turn them into W's.
Yeah.
Capital true. W's.
You poop them out as W's.
Right, because all of those little L's can actually lean against each other.
Yeah, because you get enough lowercase L's.
Lowercase L's are lowercase L lessons.
Yeah. We learn from our lowercase L's as we never take capitalized L's.
Picture us like doing this on a YouTube video, so red-faced, coming up with this metaphor.
So it's actually, if you get a lot of lowercase L's, you can put them together.
You make one big W.
Oh, hang on. I'm parallel parking.
Tiny microphone, green screen
tiny
background.
Microphone while we're driving, talking about our haters and the lowercase L's that they've delivered.
Pinching a tiny microphone.
Okay. But yeah, this is, I understand where you're coming from. I've made mistakes like this before. Like
absolutely.
I remember running sessions in like home games where I didn't realize that the dragon's breath, I didn't know what the recharge thing meant. So I was just like, why wouldn't they just use their breath every turn?
Whoa.
And you absolutely fucked
You killed three of my characters.
Yeah. I did it over and over again before examining myself.
There's a five here. I guess that's recommended times to use it.
Yeah. So I think we all miss these, you know, little things every once in a while, and you learn, and it sounds like you've gone on to play other campaigns, so you know you're all good. And I think you also learn as you DM more how to kind of pivot on the fly, where if you realize that you put in the wrong creature, you can still role play and sort of get your players out of it while keeping to whatever reality you've set.
Yeah.
You're probably a better DM from this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
It's important to give your haters these tiny little morsels every once in a while. Something to subsist on. Because
They need a snack. Your haters need a snack.
You can't let them go hungry.
You can't let your haters go hungry.
Hate is just love tinged with jealousy.
Stay hungry, my friend.
Yeah.
Stay
hungry. I will also, you know what? It's not that big a deal, truly, because first off, like everybody makes mistakes with character balancing and everything up top. And also, if your players are low enough level that they're getting killed by ogres, it was early enough in the campaign. It'd be different if everyone was level 15 and been playing these characters for a couple years and they died.
Yeah.
But it's just like, you're all learning together. You're going to figure it out. Dice Christ forgives you. Dice Christ forgives our lowercase L's.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
In fact, Dice Christ welcomes them.
Yeah. Dice Christ welcomes
them. With a lowercase W.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. What is a nat one if not a lowercase L?
Whoa.
Yeah.
True.
Beautiful.
So true. So okay. True. Gorgeous. Put it on a cross stitch. And with that, we're going to wrap this one up. Thank you all so much for listening. You can listen to bonus cases over on our Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing yet. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Excuse me.
You can also subscribe to the show on Apple Plus if that's how you'd prefer to listen to our short rests and whatnot. Just hit that little plus thing on the Apple Podcast. Yeah.
You'll see it there.
You'll see it. Check that out. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to plug?
I'll go ahead and plug our shop again. It's been a minute. Shop.nadpod.com.
Lots of new stuff dropping in there.
Yeah. We have a fanny pack in there now. We got another fanny pack up in there. It's really fresh. Perfect for whenever spring happens in your location around the world.
That's right. We've also replenished the campaign D20s, the big, thick, themed D20s in there.
Yeah. Too.
I also find the fanny pack helpful for when you're doing chores around the house and you aren't wearing anything with pockets.
Oh,
you
that's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In.
When I'm doing chores naked around the house, I'll just wear a fanny pack.
Yeah. That's hot.
Yeah. I use it in the shower because I don't want to like have to put down the soap.
Yeah, and you need to have... You put the soap in a fanny pack. Great
That's
visual.
Your shower fanny.
Great visual.
It's not shower safe, though. It's not shower safe.
Sweet. So, check that out. Shop.nadpod.com. And you can follow us on social media. They may or may not use at @CageFirstMe, at Caldy's Caldwell, at EX for Emily, and at Jake versus Jake. And you tweet about the show using #NadPod. That's NADDPOD.
We are the youth of a nation. We are the youth of a nation.
It's the end of the show, and you know what that means. It's time to shout out our benevolent Council of Elders, starting with Brad D., Jeffrey S., Lord of the Fjord, Hugh C., Later McSkater, Matt M., Cutter W., Feared Al, Jeff C., Daniel G., Danielle, the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Danny P., Bryant J., Vincent W., Victor T, Balnor's Boy, Hoid's Friend, Justin I, Danny Danster, TJM, Trele the Crayfay, Christopher B, Damiel R, Jordan L, Cyborg Version of Josh the Kobold, Stevie Wags, R.I.P. Squeam, he died as he lived without context, P. Princess Yar, Jory S., Jack L., Nicholas C., star of every film ever made in Bohemia, now back in action after Union victory, Samuel B., Mike H., Alka-Seltzer Plus, Great Value, Gemma, Adam G., Tyler F., Nabadger, Panama James, Herantrian, Carborough Chapel Hill FPV, Rexthaniel the White, Diana De Los Lopez, CC Lulu, Hercule Poirot, Rapid Folk Detective, Rico, Calder Comes Cold, shout out to the Cold Come Companions, Frosty Facial, Jesus Christ, Taylor B, the Vengeful One-Winged Angel, Cass, Skateboard, Cass, Steven is steeping tea unevenly, you see, see, Mike K, Lady Taco and Team Incredulity, Joy T, Jake L, Nick W, Agnity, William Wall, Big Bad Beard of the Mad, Ananarama, Percival Frederickstein von Musel Klausowski DeRolo III, J. Dragonborn, famed Muskrat Extraordinaire, The Sandrian, Ben A., Dave H., Christian S., A Cell from the Prison of Elders. Wow. Dustin S., Danny F., Hawkeye Pierce, Bookvar's assistant Izzy F., DPC is awesome, Shone, the Shade Tree Mechanic of Zelbuldar, Summer Rose Grantaire, Catsy, Misa of Hausen Zunza, Ariel the Occasional Mermaid, Selena and Velaciraptor, Be Perky Always, Pat L, Maxwell J, Lauren H, Nolani, the Coffee Barista Brewing Fighter, Serve 16, the Bone Duster, Annie, the Feywild Therapist, Skillful Ferret, I would like to see, well, this one's kind of conceptual, but just Murph taking a lowercase L, Connor Savage, Salil, Weed Goku 69, aka Gunk at 16, experimenting with drugs, Leviathan, BioQuirt 7, Amber Dextrous, Sylvan H, Trub Hup Dropper, Jack H, King of the Mole People Under Iron Deep, wearing Murph's Jack Skellington hoodie, Lindsay W, Valen, Carlin C, Emily S, Noah the Bullywug Boy, hashtag release the filthy guppy cut, James G, Everything Bago, the Eladrin who just wants to hang out with his pet badger Stripey, Daddy Master Dandy, Han the Green Teen, Eric B, Marcos, Learns the Balance Druid, Dakota James P, Frida M, Pagos, self-proclaimed Fae King, back on the regularly programmed Fae shenaniganeries, Tracy P, the Crick Elf Librarian, Maggie S, Holly Hyena, Leah, Giovanni the Fighter, Akash the Car, Andrew Crick Planeswalker, getting cricky with it, Doofiness, Russell H, a monk named Dilgo, Cody Care, Keychains Pentium 2 Processor, Lorelei the Succubus, and Kira her Busty Queen, Matt M, your friendly neighborhood Yaunt and Yunkle Andrew and Sid, John Adams, yes, like the president, Meg, the mail carrier of Bohemia, James F, Jimmy A, M4L, Austin S, Wayfarer now has to do something with the trolls, get rid of them, turn to page 42, keep them, turn to page 69, Shane C, Barpo Good Barrel Barbarian, Welshlinder, Garrett G, One Big Curd, Mr. D, Dana the Daisy, Ethan B, Havy the Half-Orc, Renee the Monster Captain, Box Clifton, Olivia the Enchanting Bard who is working hard on her audition to be the lead singer of the Mounting Crows, Winter Slade, Sammy B, Bohemia's Finest Linguist, Riley S, Fico, Angry Wheat, Garrett the Artificer, Anthony the Raddest of Dudes, Josh H, Abigail H, Caleb L, the fairies who have been partying nonstop to celebrate hashtag CCC. We are hungover and resting and wishing the best of luck to y'all.
Ponderful, the pink dragon, scourge of the bookstore, hoarder of joke books. That's a new one. I love it. Cantrip Dumbledore, the bear onesie wearing barbarian, Lexi H, MJ the BFG, Cam the frogman, Artavius Crass, Gino T, Mama Belle, the silver serpent herself, Derek D, Tristan the talentless hunk, Leon K, legendary hero of Bohemia from a future campaign, BTA Workshop, Shenanigans O'Connor, Mios the Great, Alex K, Joshua S, Alexander, Linz W, Angel LaPamela, the Forever Vindicated, Emma S, Red the Reforged Warforged, Goat Token Fenton, Tim's 69th Simulacrum reporting from the future, ready to destroy the world of Aurelion. A cat napping in a sunbeam listening to a podcast. Nyack's Nasty Nut. Shell B, Kenna's second favorite Sprite Girl, collabing with Squeam to ghostwrite Fig's sophomore year album. Jackson R, T3RHX. Official Ned Flanders, Blake H, searching for a sweet blue hole with his bestie Big Bev, Pawpaw Sky Days, Maymaw Sky Days, oh, it's V, Tommy W, Mike and Lisa sending love to y'all, Haley the Human, Megan N, the Big M, Balnor's best friend Steve, Stephanie of Hosen Zunza, Jake's Ramen Shop, R.I.P. Melchior the Brave Leonian Warrior, who even cares about the rest of the party, Karjish, Benjamin A, sacrificial otaku pen name for Callie's cousin who discovered anime and is trying to spread the word all over Bohemia, Jiggy M, Mikkel A, Angie A, Josh H, two mid-sized robot yaks unrelated to the five yakzords. Froki, Jacob K, Maple the Shy Bookworm, Ashley, Seth E, Billy Baston, Tori the Blind Bisexual Dragoose, Sack, Monkey, Bob, Lovers call me Edel, Foes call me Weiss, The party call me Edelweiss, Michael Lyle Sprow the Second, Copper Bubbers the Goblin Bubblin Goblin, Nova Cry, Parcel, Dex Riddlewell, Hannah A, and finally Ace Dregs, High Lord of Kritzberg. Thank you all so much. We love you all. You support what we do and we love what we do, so therefore we love you. Goodbye, sweeties.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.